I had the straight and narrow way that leads to life. And then I had a real large crown right here, and we sang the song, "He could have called 10,000 angels." That was his cross. And then we had a portion of some songs that said, "A cross for me appeared." And there's not a lot. I put a cross right here that was for me. But we don't have just one cross. We have, you're going to meet, I'm going to meet a number of crosses between here and here. So I had different crosses along the way here. And I said that we needed to identify. God helps us identify our crosses. I also said that Jesus didn't speak a whole lot about crosses, but he said enough. And he said that we had to deny ourselves and take up our cross and follow him. So I'm just going to put a few little crosses over here, but I have lived long enough. I'm not here yet, but I have met a number of crosses along the way. It's part of our battles. It's part of how God is proving himself to us, teaching us, shaping us, molding us, fashioning us when we... And I even said in one of the messages, I said, I was bearing a specific cross, but I didn't know it. I knew it was a great trial. And the Lord spoke to me back in the dining room. And he said, "This is your cross." And when he said that, I was able to accept that. So when you come to these hard places and you're having to deny yourself, you're having to take up your cross. And it says, Jesus said daily. He only spoke of the cross in 7 different places. But his life represented taking his cross for you and me. So I'll put another cross over here. And we have a cross, a message continuing with this. Today, ultimately, the title is going to be "The Cross of Offense." We all are familiar with what the Word of the Lord says. You can only serve one master. But there's two that we have to contend with. And we heard a little bit about some of that in our Sunday school lesson of one of those masters that paints beautiful pictures and has a great influence in people's lives and draws them away. And we know what the Word says, that, well, we know when it began. It began in the garden. And he tempted, and Eve yielded, and sin came into the world. And he became the other adversary and the other voice Remember, God has a voice in all of this, and Satan has a voice. And we have to know the difference. We have to recognize, learn the voice of the Lord. And so it began in the garden. It began with choices and how God has allowed all generations from that time to this time to make your own choice. Do you like making your own choices? In our humanity, we do. Sometimes we think we know what is best. But I want to say God's way is best. And I gave a portion of that song in one of the messages, Heart. Cease thy struggling to see and know and understand. Take the way of the cross. We have songs that speaks of the glory of the cross. I want to tell you, you will not find the glory of the cross if you turn your back on it. You have to embrace your cross. And you have to bear your cross to win a crown. And one scripture says, let no man take your crown. It can be many things. It's not just other people that can affect us and affect our eternity. But I want to say that what God has said, and this is so familiar. You know, we wonder, well, why do we have to hear the same thing periodically? We may not hear it every Sunday. We may not hear it very often. But when we hear it, we say, yeah, I remember what God said. He said, I have set before you this day life and death. Every day you get to choose. I get to choose. He says blessings and cursings, and then he appeals to each one of us, even today. I appeal to you, choose life. So this verse is a distinct reminder that we get to choose our eternal destiny. When we get to the end of the way, according to John Bunyan, right beside the gates to heaven was also a gate to hell. I don't know that we can prove that by the Bible, but he proved it in his writings. That there were people that thought they would make it in, and they didn't come in by the right way. They crawled over the gate. They were like a thief and a robber, it said. And there was this one man that they met along the way, and they said he admitted he had not come in by the gate, by the straight place. And they said, well, how do you have a certificate? Well, no, I don't have a certificate. And they said, well, how do you know that you will make it into heaven? And he says, my heart tells me so. A lot of people can be blind and deceived and think they're going to make it to the gate. And what happened in John Bunyan's story was that this particular individual stood knocking at the gate, and somebody said, "What is your name? Do you have a certificate?" "Well, I don't know you." And he was taken and cast into the lake of fire right at the gates of heaven. You know, God gives us crosses all along the way, preparing us for the end of our life. It's to work good in our life. It's to shape and mold and fashion us. It's to purge us and purify us and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That's what its purpose is. But I have to embrace it. It says also that in that same verse, it says, "Choose life that both thou and thy seed," your children, "are going to be affected by your choice. That you may live, that you and your children may live." How many of us want our children to make heaven? Is that sort of a shallow question? We wouldn't be here this morning if we didn't have a desire for our own soul to make heaven and that of our children. In our daily prayers, does it not include our children making it to heaven? Yes, it does. We all feel that way. And in the next verse, it says, "For he is thy life and the length of thy days." Okay, we spoke last Sunday in regard to a message we heard at Guthrie about God had a plan. That's still a part of this message. God has a plan for you and for me. And when we come to him, he implements that plan. And it doesn't take very long for him to begin to unfold his plan. A cross represents suffering, hard things. It represents, actually, it represents persecution. But you and I are so spoiled. We've been spoiled all of our life. We don't even know what persecution is. Oh, we might suffer a trial and somebody do us wrong, and we think, oh, that's a persecution. But I want to tell you, we haven't lived in the time of the martyrs. A number of years ago, the Lord gave me a series of messages on the mind of the martyrs. And I want to tell you, we're not there. We live soft lives, even if it seems hard. It's really soft. I admit it myself. We can have afflictions. We can suffer. But listen, he said, Jesus said, "If you suffer with me, what will happen?" I want to tell you, we are not above our Lord and Savior. The servant is not above. And when we try to escape our cross, and we say, "This is too hard to bear," and we make room for other things to somehow help me not suffer. My flesh does not want to suffer. That's just how we are. Learn to deny yourself. Take up your cross. Follow Him. Allow it to work for good in our lives. Oh, I'm not going to say it's easy. But I want to tell you something. God knows what He wants to do in your life. He knows what will work. And I said this in one of the messages, because Dan has said it a number of times to us, how that Sister Cheryl, even before she got cancer, she was praying and saying, Lord, put that thing in my life that will help me make heaven. But when we reject it, we're turning it away. Submitting to cancer is not easy. Is it? No. Fillion knows. He's over there shaking his head. No, it's not easy. But the flesh doesn't want to bear it. He says, Jesus said in John 10 and 10, I am come that they might have life. He wants to give us life, eternal life. He wants us to make it. Yes, He wants us to learn from our crosses. He wants us to learn how to bear our crosses. He says, I have come that you might have life, and that we, you and me, might have it more abundantly. You know what? When a cross appears, most of the time, we don't see it as abundant life. Do we? No. We don't see it as, oh, this is the way, walk ye in it. The flesh is always saying, I want to turn to this side or that side. Mm-hmm. Verse 11 of that chapter, it says, Jesus giveth his life for the sheep. Was that easy? No, we know that wasn't easy. We know how he had to consecrate. It was his cross. And remember, he could have called for 10,000 angels. And he could have come down. And he could have lived. He could have gone back to heaven where he came from. But he chose his cross. He bore his cross for you and for me. Jesus gave a number of points that instruct us all along the, I'm going to say, narrow way. Points that speak to us to influence our choices. And it starts with this. If anyone would come after me. You want to think about following Christ? Well, for one thing, we have to count the cost. Is there a price? There's a price. Count the cost. Is it worth it? When we conclude that it is worth it, that's part of the battle. John 6 and 53, it says, whosoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood, has eternal life. And this is a hard saying. I remember a number of years ago, I was just inspired with eating his flesh and drinking his blood. And I had a number of messages consecutively, and they were hard sayings. And many people departed because it was not appealing. It did not appeal to them to take a way that was really hard. I'm going to suggest an insert here. Get on your knees. Cry out to the Lord. And say, Lord, help me to eat your flesh and drink your blood. You can't do it without his help. John 6 and 53, another one starts with the same thing. If any would come after me, whosoever eats and drinks my blood has eternal life. And it says this was emphasized last Sunday, that again, if anyone comes after him, part of the price is to deny yourself, take up your cross, and follow him. The self-denial is a core purpose of the crosses that we bear. I have that written down. John 15 and 20, remember that I said unto you, Jesus said this, the servant is not greater than his Lord. If they will persecute me, they will persecute you. And I've already said that we're a spoiled people. We have not been persecuted. We have not, in all of our lives, in all of the generations that are represented here, we have not been persecuted. And yet we can come and say, oh, I passed through a really hard trial. God's still working on us. He says in a song, he's still working on me to make me what I ought to be. I want to speak about crosses of offense. That's our burden this morning. This cross is about human relationships, and we all have them. We have family relationships. We have relationships with people on the job, at school. We have contact with people all along the way. Things happen in relationships. Jesus tried to prepare us by saying, it's impossible but that offenses will come. The straight and the narrow way is not lined with roses. Is it? Is it just fun every day? Everybody likes me. Everybody just talks real good about me. And is it that way? Now, we can have our feelings on our shoulders, but life is not like that. You're going to meet opposition. Things that oppose. I count offenses as very hurtful and wounding, and I have been there. And I'm going to say you've been there. That you've experienced some wounds and hurts. Our wounds and our hurts produce something. What does it produce? Reactions. I can have a reaction to the way I am treated. If I am falsely accused, I can have a reaction. What do I want to do when I'm falsely accused? I want to defend myself. That's a natural reaction. When Jesus in his word gave some instructions and he said, if somebody slaps you on one cheek, what do you do? He said, turn the other cheek. That's not our normal reaction. To just let it happen over and over. When we pass through these reactions, a couple of things that came to my mind that is so dangerous is bitterness and unforgiveness. So easy to allow a root of bitterness spring up. And what does the Bible say happens when that happens? It says many are defiled. If I do not take my cross, deny myself, I will allow this little root to begin to grow in my life. And when I see those individuals that have wounded me and hurt me, I'm going to feel bitter and I'm going to feel unforgiveness. Unforgiveness will keep us out of heaven. The word of the Lord says, if you do not forgive others, I can't forgive you. We know this. But I'm thinking about what? Was it Peter? And he came and he said, how often do I forgive my brother? 7 times. We might think 7 times is a lot of times. And it is. But Jesus put it at a number that you're going to have to carry your cross in order to bear it. You're going to have to embrace your cross. He said, no, you're going to have to forgive 70 times 7. And I don't know if it was in that place, but what it was said was, Lord, increase our faith. Along the way, these crosses, and especially a cross of offense, you're probably going to have to say, Lord, increase my faith. And he will. And he can. And he does. If we lent him. You have to let the Lord work for you. I have to let the Lord work for me. I want to talk about some other things that happens when we're offended. I want to talk about attitudes. Anybody experience an attitude? Have you experienced a wrong attitude? Have you been tempted to have these kind of attitudes because somebody did something that hurt you? Did you know the cross that has wondrous glory bears the grace to overcome? You go any other source of help, you can't overcome. I've been there. I want to mention something else about the grace of this cross. It has the grace of honesty. We must be honest with ourselves and honest with God and honest with the people. We must. I'm going to say that as part of my prayer, I pray for the Lord to help me to be honest with myself. We didn't go into the details of what Satan's plans were, but we're familiar. The word of the Lord says we're not ignorant of his devices. And the word of the Lord says that he is out to blind. He's out to steal, kill, destroy. He's out to deceive. It says he wants to deceive the whole world. And that includes me. So when I am bowing before my cross and seeking for the graces of my cross to help me to not only forgive, but to submit the bitterness that could defile many, but it can affect the way that I feel toward individuals or toward a hurt or the way that I feel even about myself, I'm going to name out some. And this may be unique to me, but I think it's fairly common to most. I think. I haven't asked you. But you can look within your own heart and you can, by the help of the Lord, say, yes, that's me. And I have confessed to the congregation here more than once how that the Lord showed me I was jealous. Jealousy is cruel. The scripture says it's as cruel as the grave. To be jealous because somebody else is doing something that gets recognition and you don't, it may stir up a little jealousy. Jealousy is so ugly. You don't want jealousy in your life. So how do we handle it? What do we do when we recognize, oh, I have this feeling of jealousy, and it can drop in on you in a moment. Do you believe that? Always be honest. Pray against it. Say the words out loud. I pray against the spirit of jealousy. Every inkling, every symptom, I pray against it. I want to tell you, you receive power when you pray against something. I know I have received it. An attitude of envy. Something that we can hide in our life fairly easily. We guard our words that we're not saying anything that my neighbor would know that I have envy. But God knows. And He knows how to help us. It's part of that cross of offense. And it goes on, and the scriptures teach us that we must not strive. Strife is a very strong spirit of an attitude that is ugly and that does not complement the life of a Christian. And self-pity. Anybody ever have self-pity? I've had a big case of it before. I'm well familiar with what self-pity does. Pray against it. Say the same words. I pray against the spirit of self-pity and any inkling of a part of self-pity. Don't leave anything uncovered. Pray against it. God will help us. And the graces of the cross will help us. The last one I'm going to name is pride. Oh, we can hear the word pride and we can determine in our minds what we think that is. I'm proud of the way I look. I'm proud of this. I'm proud of that. But I want to tell you, there is something about pride that goes into a person's life that can be well covered. Don't allow pride in your life. The word of the Lord says He hates a proud look. Whether that look comes out on my face or it's demonstrated in my life, God hates it. You hate it too. Hate all of these things that the enemy would like to bring up into our lives, and you will be hindered. That's our little message today. God's grace is sufficient. When Paul found himself in a hard place and he was weak and he wanted to be delivered from that thorn in the flesh. These are thorns. And he came before God and he said he wanted to be delivered, and the answer was, no, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in your weakness. If we have any weaknesses in these things that I have named, jealousy, strife, self-pity, pride, if you have a weakness there, the devil would like to magnify your weakness. But God wants to deliver us. And He can. And so He comes along and He said, a cross now appears for you, and you're going to bear some hurtful things, and it's going to expose some things in your life. Face them with an honest heart and with a heart that's honest before me. And I have told you how God has dealt with me down through all of my life. Listen, I've been through many crosses. And when He comes and He speaks it to me and He says, this is what you are. And as soon as He said it, I've testified to you, I knew it was true. And I denied my flesh. I gave up that thing. I admitted it. I saw that it was a thing that would keep me out of heaven. Be honest with your own soul. Pray for me.